Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. 2019 marked 10 years since Oscar Grant was shot and killed by a police officer at the Fruitvale BART station in Oakland. Though there was all kinds of media attention initially and then throughout the trial, plus the award-winning movie Fruitvale Station, Oscar Grant's father had apparently never been interviewed. He was incarcerated at Solano State Prison. His name is also Oscar Grant, and he agreed to an interview for the podcast Uncuffed, which is produced inside the prison. Insight guest host Beth Duncan talked with Eli Wertschafter, the producer and trainer from KALW, who works with the inmate podcast team. Here's Eli.
We are working at Solano State Prison, so that's in Vacaville, and this is the second prison where KALW has been working to train inmates to be reporters. The first was San Quentin about 5 years ago. I'm actually not involved as a teacher there, but that's the program that gave training to the folks who ended up starting the hit podcast Ear Hustle, which you hear on Radiotopia. And so, last year we expanded it to this other prison, Solano, and one of the most, I think, powerful things that's come out of this program is this interview we're going to hear with the father of Oscar Grant, who is incarcerated there.
Yes, and we're going to hear that in just a moment. I wanted to ask you, do the student inmates get to interview people who are not prisoners, or is it strictly one-on-one with their fellow inmates?
So far, it's been strictly other inmates. Sometimes they have pitches of they'll be interested in talking to a staff member there, or sometimes they've asked about having someone else come in to interview. But for now, we're focused on interviewing other prisoners, people who don't have a chance to talk to journalists, media, on other opportunities, but could come up sometime.
When did your student pitch this story? Did he seek out an interview with Grant's father because of the anniversary of his son's death, or did they already know each other?
He pitched it early on. I think they knew each other, but not too well. But early on in our program, he said, hey, Oscar Grant's dad is here, and that would be really powerful to talk to him. I think Luke knew that the anniversary was coming up. Because he didn't know Oscar Grant that well, I think he spent a while getting to know him and talking to him and getting him comfortable with the idea of doing the interview. Oscar Grant, from what I've heard, was interested in doing something for the anniversary from the beginning, but really wanted to be sure that Luke would have his best interests at heart. So it's a great credit to Luke that he sought out to do that interview, and he also persisted in getting to know Oscar until he was comfortable enough to sit down with him.
And again, this is the first and only interview that we're aware of Oscar Grant.
I was at work, because I go to work at 3:45 in the morning. I'm an AM cook. Sergeant Clark pulled me in the room, got the phone, and he said, do you know Anjanetta Grant? I said, yes, that's my sister. And I say, what's up, what's going on? He said, well, you need to call her. It's important. The phone rung. She picked up on the second ring. My sister was screaming and hollering and crying. And I said, Anjanetta, what's going on? She said, Junior, they killed your son. I immediately dropped the phone, walked out the office, went back to the building. Now I want to talk to my family.
Okay.
Because I want to know what really happened to my son. Because at this time, I don't really know nothing except he's dead. So in the process of me on the phone talking, my Sally cuts on the TV. He say, Oscar, look, man, look. I'm like, huh? He say, look. Look on the TV. And when I look up, all I see is a whole bunch of gentlemen on the platform, on their knees. And then I see my son, and they showing the clip at the bar station. And I just hear something go, bah! And I drop the phone and look at the TV. I'm staring at it. And I'm like, whoa. And this fool shot my son. Why?
When was the last time that you saw your son?
My ex-wife brought my son up. It was either 04 or 05, and I seen him, and I had a talk with him. And I told him, look, Junior, I don't need you going down the same road I went down. I said, I don't want you in jail. I don't want you in prison. I want you to be out there to where you can help your moms and your sister until I'm out of here. I say, as you know, now you're the man of the house.
So how did he take that moment coming from you?
He was proud of that. He's like, Dad, so I'm the man of the house? I say, yeah. I said, but you can't tell your mom what to do. Because I know you're going to try.
Right.
He said, but so I can stop people from coming in the house? I say, Junior, you have to make sure that your mom and your sister is secure. I say, but I don't want you doing nothing wrong either. And he said, Dad, I'm not. He said, I promise you, Dad, I'm going to stay out of trouble.
How did you do it? All these years in prison, what prompted you to keep that connection with your son?
I love my son to death. I cared about my son, and I respected my son. And I wanted him to know that his dad, even though I am in prison, hey, your dad got you. Because my son visited me from the time he was a baby all the way up, and this is from 1986, all the way up to 2005.
So you had a strong bond with him. You knew your son.
Yes.
He'd come up here and visit, and you play with him, hug him, and talk to him and everything.
Yes, I did.
So did anybody come up, did any other stations come up to you and try to talk to you to get your side of the story, how you felt, what you were going through, you know?
No, no one, when that happened, no one came up here to try to talk to me, say anything to me about anything.
Why? I mean, so why is that? Why do you think that is?
Well, me personally, I believe that they don't believe I existed because no one ever talked to me about my son.
How do you feel about that? How were you feeling about that when that was going on? And how do you feel about it now?
I feel very hurt. I felt very disrespected. Because if that was their kid, they would want to be talked to or at least asked. How do you feel about what happened to your kid? At least find out what I'm going through. No one ever did that until right now. They made a movie.
Right.
I was never talked to about that. He called me after the movie was made.
Okay.
Because he said that's when he found out that my son, Dad, was in prison.
How does it feel to watch your son become a symbol after his death?
Me personally, I don't like it. I lay down and I wake up, cut on the news. I say, oh, whoa. Man, I can't even put my son to rest because when I seen the Trayvon Martin, it made me think about my son again. It reenacted that all over again. That whole play all the way over again.
It hasn't just been Trayvon Martin. It's been, and you know this.
It's been
several.
Several more, but in the process of all these murders,
mm-hmm.
they showed him,
mm-hmm.
and they showed my son again. So every time another kid get killed, it brings Oscar Grant up.
What does that bring up for you?
That brings up memories.
And you just want to...
And that brings up pain.
So basically, he's murdered again and again and again.
Yes. Over and over and over. Anytime another little youngster get killed and they bring up my son.
That's Oscar Grant.
That's Oscar Grant. All over again.
How do you deal with all that, man? I mean, being locked up and first being away from your son, the decisions that you've made, and then watching that tragedy happen. How do you deal with that, man?
It was hard at first. It hurts, and I got a lot of people around me say, hey, man, we got you. If you want to vent, we got you. They knew my son because they used to be in the visitor room with their wife and their kids. Those guys used to talk to me, bro, we don't want you to go crazy, man. We don't lose control of us. Us, you got this.
So the community in prison basically,
The community in prison was just like the community on the streets.
Right.
We all came together, and they all, you know, gave me a hug and talked to me.
Have you ever come to terms with any of this? Have you had, I mean, how do you grieve? Have you grieved?
I haven't grieved yet. And I won't be able to grieve until I'm out of here and go sit at my son's burial.
What do you want to say to Oscar, your son?
I want to let my son know. Junior, no matter what, your dad will always be there. I love you, respect you, and care. I'm going to always have you right in my heart, wherever I'm at, wherever I go. I love my son dearly.
That was the father of Oscar Grant in conversation with Luke Padgett, a radio reporting student at Solano State Prison. I'm talking with KALW producer Eli Wirtschafter, who leads the training classes there and is the lead producer for Uncuffed. Eli, I'm curious about how the students go about getting their stories and the access that they have to other inmates. It sounds like they're also learning journalism and the interviewing process. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, so they're pretty much able to interview anyone who's on the yards with them, who just comes into our little radio lab we've set up in a small classroom there. They didn't have a radio lab before we came in there. They did have a TV lab. And essentially, they're able to bring in anyone who can get a pass to come up to the lab to talk with them. And the idea is that we're giving them training as real journalists would. They are learning how to pitch a story. They're learning how to write questions. They're learning how to sound natural in an interview. And then they actually edit the pieces themselves on computers that we've donated to the prison using Pro Tools, using industry standard software. So we hope this is going to be a useful skill for them that they could use when they get out. And we hope it's just a good rehabilitative exercise for them while they're in as well.
Would anyone else have been able to get this interview?
I don't think so. I mean, we were just saying before the interview came in, there was one other person for actually a socialist newspaper and website, Liberation, who had talked to Oscar Grant over the phone, but no one has been able to sit down with him in person. In general, it's hard to interview prisoners for a news story or as an outside journalist. The rules can vary from institution to institution, but whether anyone else really tried or whether they were able to or not, this was definitely a level of access that wouldn't have been able to happen without the interviewer being someone else who was in prison with him. And moreover, I think the conversation just sounds different than it would have if it was someone who didn't understand him as a fellow prisoner.
Have you talked to Grant yourself?
I did talk to him. I just wanted to check with him. I wanted to let him know when the piece was coming on, and I wanted to meet him in person. Yeah, I mean, he's just the same way he sounds in the interview. He's quiet, but sort of has a forcefulness in the way he speaks. He was very kind. He was grateful for the opportunity to be heard on the 10th anniversary. And I have to say, just looking at his eyes, it just reminded me of the photos we've seen of his son, of Oscar Grant.
How do your students feel about the process of storytelling? Clearly, this interviewer really had a heart for the situation, but allowed Grant to speak for himself. How do you teach that process of journalism, of storytelling, and having that interviewer get out of the way?
I think it's just about being a good listener, but also coming in with an idea of what the story is before you talk, which is always a delicate balance. In our case, the interviews usually last for 40 minutes or something. This interview went long. This was an hour and a half before it was edited down. I think the empathy is there. The empathy is innate in terms of how to find a story. I think a lot of that comes down to talking a lot with the person you're going to be interviewing in advance, getting to know their story and having an idea of what the main story beats are before you get there. They're getting really good at it, I have to say.
So are your reporters now stars inside those walls? Are people coming up to them and say, hey, man, I want you to talk to me about my story?
Yeah, they are starting to pick up that kind of attention. I think, at the point where they need to turn people down. I think it's not getting to their heads too much. They're a humble group. But it's definitely getting some recognition within the prison as well as outside. But I hear that staff are coming up to them saying, hey, heard that piece. That sounded good. Or other inmates will hear the stuff as well. And it's good. I think, you know, same as doing journalism outside, it feels good to have a voice and be able to tell your story and to be able to tell other people's stories.
What kinds of changes or developments have you seen in your students as they've been able to be a part of this program?
We've gotten a lot better at editing, a lot better at interviewing, and I think they've become more and more cohesive as a team. One of the most moving things for me to see as a teacher in this program is the way they support each other and how much they're helping each other edit their work, giving each other a listen, helping each other write their pitches, the same way we would in a newsroom on the outside. Mm-hmm. They're developing those skills and they're working together.
That was KALW producer and trainer Eli Wertschafter. He was talking about the podcast Uncuffed with Insight guest host Beth Duncan. Their conversation happened in April of 2019. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.
I want to watch it all fall until it's dark. You both look exactly the same at night. I'd arrange the bed by crosses watched.